we are, you know, desiring, longing for to go, is a proof that there is such a thing. Why? Because he lives. That is our proof. Now, maybe somebody else has some other idea. That's fine, but that's my proof. That because he lives, I will live again. That is my proof. You know, every other tomb is empty this morning. I'm sorry. It's not empty, you know. Muhammad and whatever they're looking for, white horses, and Allah and all these people, none of them have come back yet. You and I have a God that is alive and well this morning. And the tomb is empty. That is my proof that there is a land beyond this life. And that's why we're celebrating this morning. Because we have a hope, you know, beyond. So you should be happy this morning that you can believe what you can believe. You should be happy that even furthermore, you can believe this message. Amen. You don't know how I don't even want to use the word lucky. You should be happy, you know, that you heard this message. Because if you don't hear this message, you won't be here. And that means you're probably one of the exceptions that going to be out there. Even though we are the exception, actually. But they think we don't know what we're talking about. Anyway, my expectation this morning is to see him, right? To see him. And how do you see him? Well, look at each other. Stand up. Stand. Man, what's wrong with that word? Do I pronounce it wrong? Brother, don't use it. And you guys go right away. And now he says stand. And you guys like, you know, that's all right. I don't think it's you. I think it's me. Because you're trying to figure out, did he mean that or not? Did he actually want us to do that or not? I know my wife do that to me all my life, you know. But I don't know if you was joking or you was... But that's the way I am anyway. You love the Lord? Well, that's what you're here, because you love the Lord. Let's go back to expectation. I started last Wednesday. And I still got the subject in my heart. So let's call this expectation part two. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation, not just an expectation, it is more than that, it's persistent. It is something that if I can have it, you know, I die anxious, I need to have it. See, it's not just I expecting something to happen, I expecting to see something, no. If it don't happen, what I expected to see, you know, I'm going to, so, you know, just like you thirst for life, you need water. That's what brother preaching that. If you don't have water, I die. We have to have water every day. You might go without food for a few days, but you cannot go without water. And when you start thirsting for water, the body's telling you, your body tells you, you need water, dummy. You better drink some water. We're going to pass out. I'm done. I'm not working for you anymore. If you don't take water, I'm done. I shut you off and you're down. And you know when you get into that point, people dehydrate all the time. And they get dizzy. And then you start getting tunnel vision and things start getting weird. But you know, the body's telling you something. Take some water, dummy. And the same thing in the spiritual. You know, when you feel weak. You know, when you feel the way you feel and sickness come. I'm not saying it's because you're doing something wrong. But, you know, Satan is not going to stop. But what you need to do, just drink. And you drink. And you drink. You know, drink, you know, bring your cup, bring your truck, fill it up to the top. Wow, I think that rhymes, huh? We can make a song, Kearney. Fill my truck. No, forget it. You know, so when you come to church, that's what you want to do. You're expecting every day, not just church, you're expecting, you know, that God will quench the thirst. If not, then that's why some people don't come, because they don't have no thirst for what? For the things of God. I'm not saying that they don't want God. I said, it takes a thirsting, you know. It takes an expectation, you know. So not only just expectation, it's persistent. It's not from, well, this year I come to the Christmas thing and then next year to Easter and that's it. That's not persistent. I don't think I would have dated my wife that way. She would have left me. Okay, I see you in Christmas. I love you. Maybe next Easter. That's not persistent. I was persistent. Well, let me... That's a different story. She was persistent. But we're not going to talk about that here. Persistent. Waiting. You know? Huh. Mm. Not only just being persistent, not being expecting, but now you have to what? Wait. Some of us, we're so impatient that we cannot wait a minute or 5 minutes. Abraham waited 25 years. And some of you and I, we've been in this mission for even just more and as long as that. Why? Because we want to wait. And that's what your reward is, being patient. You know, Abraham has his reward. He waited patiently. He never wavered. Now, we know who are the waivers here. Well, they're not here, they waver. When you have that kind of expectation and you are anxious to see something happening in your life, when you have that anxiety and anxious to come to church and you want to be persistent, you know what? You make a way. You see? And you wait. And you sit. And you wait. Monday, Tuesday, when? You wait. You know? The Bible said to wait and watch. If we are not going to receive anything, if we are not going to see anything, what wait? What watch? Pray. Wait. That's what it means, wait. You know, be persistent every morning. You know, every day. I don't know when you read your Bible. I don't know when you pray. But it has to be persistent when church is open. It has to be that way. We have to wait. And how do you wait? By waiting and praying and watching what? The Lord moving. You know? We're not going to talk about that, but I'll leave that as a side note. Maybe later on if we have time. And waiting. Waiting until the expected things appear. And we're waiting for what? For the appearance of what? Of Jesus Christ. Not physically, but also in what? In your flesh. Because when that appears, then we will know. As we were known. See, you will have a full revelation. Once the bodies are changed and appears, that we're waiting for appears. So don't you think I have to be persistent? I mean, just with that expectation itself, I want to be in the right place at the right time for the right thing to be happening. You cannot be in the wrong place expecting the right thing. It's just like doing, you know, the same thing all the time, the same way, and expecting something different. But in church, that's a different story. You can expect in God do the same thing, the same way, all the time, doing the things that you know mechanically, and you know, and He will not disappoint you. You will get your expectation. For the manifestations of the sons of God, let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come to church, Lord. It's not in ourselves as human beings to do and expect the things that you expect, because you have your own expectation, Father. And we had to line up our expectation with yours this morning. And we're expecting, Lord, for you to talk to our hearts. We will know. We will know if you do. Because we're expecting it. We're expecting something from you this morning. We don't know what it is, because if we knew, then we don't have to come. But we don't know, because it has to be transmitted, communicated through the Holy Ghost to each one of us this morning. But we come in an expectation, Lord, that something is going to be done for my best interest this morning, to go a little higher, Father. But you know what every heart will need this morning, Father, according to their faith, according to what they're expecting. Lord, they're going to get. And this morning, we want you. This morning, I want more of you, whatever that means to each of us, Father. But you know what, where I am and what I need to continue. And you know, Lord, all things. So we're trusting in you and confiding in you, Lord, this morning. Because we don't have no other way. You are the only one, the only perfect one, the one that actually knows the future from the end to the beginning. Father, and you got all things under control this morning. Sometimes we see Mexico, sometimes we see Puerto Rico on the island, but God, and I know this do not make any sense sometimes. This is not what I expected, this is not what I signed for, but nevertheless, how things look chaotic out there, and I'm bad, God is in control. Why? Because He knows the beginning from the end. We don't. We don't even know why things are happening. We don't have the details. Don't worry, just trust Him with all your life. In Jesus' name, be with our brother Doug and Mackay and Mike Price, Lord, and those people in Mexico and Puerto Rico, and where all these devastations, where all these hurricanes, earthquakes, and all these things are happening all around the globe, Lord. Be with your children, Lord, please, and keep them safe, and keep them, Lord, in the palm of your hands. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Well, you can be seated then. So the kind of the intent of this passage here, the general intent, when he says the whole creation is groaning. Groaning for what? For a change. That's all. You know, this scene that had come due to the fall, and it was introduced, you know, and has done what it has done to us, to the creation. You know, we're looking forward to something better than this, to a change. That is my expectation this morning. I don't want to be like this forever. Now that I know the Lord, now I know what the reward is, I'm expecting a change. I'm tired of what I used to be. And I'm not satisfied yet what I am right now. I want something. I'm expecting a complete change. You know, Brother Doug was preaching about us, the people that die under their expectation. I don't care how 2,000 years ago that they went to the ground and went to sleep. They went to sleep with an expectation. And his brother Doug said they will come back out with the same expectation. And you have to have the same expectation. And that expectation is that God will do the exceedingly more than what you think. He will change his bodies. This is not only just to be a Christian. It's more than that. God is doing something. And if we die, we go that way, we have to die with the same expectation that they have. Because when we come up, we have the same expectation that God is going to do something better for us. You know, and the state of things, the way things are, you know, the creation, the world, everything has to be changed. And the creation is waiting for that, for the manifestations of the sons of God. Because if they don't change, they won't change. So, and if you don't change, they are not going to come out. So, this age, you have a big responsibility in your shoulder to expect a change. But because God spoke that this had to happen. But somebody has to believe. Somebody has to expect that. If not, it's not going to work. You know, you take a woman that is pregnant, you know, a couple. You know, and she got pregnant. And at the beginning, you know, okay, a few morning sickness. And, oh, we're pregnant. Okay, great. Surprise or not surprise, we are here. That's where we are. And then, you know, with the course of time, you know, then shapes are changing. You know, that is a physical, you know, demonstration that something is happening. And that's where we are this morning. Something has happened to us. I know that my Redeemer lived, and I know that He came, and I know I have been changed. I'm not the same that I used to be. You know, in the course of this journey, you know, I've seen the signs of a change. If you don't believe me, talk to my wife. No, don't talk to her. No. I mean, wife, if you want to know about your husband, Brother Brown says, look at the wife. Whatever the wife believes is what he believes. So if you want to know about somebody, look at their wife. Talk to their wife. Don't talk to my wife. No. Because she represents you. Whatever you are, that is. Your wife is what represents your belief. Whatever you value. That's what it's so important that we raise our children with the right values, with the right expectation, because at the end, they will not depart from them. I mean, I was talking to my wife this morning about our family in general, you know, her sister's children, and my family. And I'm so glad and I'm so happy that God has watched over the family. Why? Because we're praying for it. You see? I was talking to her, you know, the Rebecca, you know, and Isaac, when Rebecca, you know, the prophet, what was it? What? Huh? I don't hear you guys. I hear, Open your mouth. Ah, enunciate your words. No. Yes, the prophet. Eliezer. I pronounce it in Spanish, in English, and French at the same time. Yeah, and then you go. Huh? So, anyway, Rebecca, you know, and he gave the family gift. He came just for one, but he gave the family gift. And God is not an Indian giver. Once Rebecca left, he gave even more. Abraham said, here, take this and take that. Once Rebecca is out of the scene, you know, they're still blessed. You know, God don't say, well, you know, they're not doing it right or they're not believing it right. It doesn't matter. He gave. God is not going to take it away. And the same thing, I was talking to my wife, you know, we are the only one of our families. But because that, they're blessed. Why? Because we pray and God listens. We have an expectation. So they are safe, like the jailer there. Paul says, you and your house, that was Peter, you and your house shall be one. But that's how they were saved. My family don't believe this message. Her family don't believe this message. And I was saying, man, they've been blessed. You know, all the children came out right. They're doing right. They're all educated. Even the children, you know, her mom had about, 20 or 30 great-grandchildren. I mean, and they're all doing well. I said, you don't do that by chance. But not by chance. The family has been blessed. God has called me and you, and I'm not saying that it's because of me, but he has just blessed the family because of that. I believe it that way. I don't know if you... If you don't believe it that way, then your family's going anywhere. You have a say-so. If you expect something, you know, that your family will come in whatever, I don't have the details. But you have something to do with it. Remember Abraham. I'm going the wrong way anyway. I don't even... It's not in my notes. I mean, for page one still. Abraham, he went and saved Lot, right? So what do you think you are called to? You and your family are tied together. You cannot divorce yourself from your families. And you love your families. So continue praying for them. Hold them. Yeah, but they're not doing right. That's not up to you. Just do what you're supposed to do. Bless them. Brother Brian said, if you can do nothing else, at least God bless them. So God will keep, no, but they are not doing, they're drinking, my brother, and that, and if I bless, they're going to stay in that kind of life. You don't know that. You don't know that. How can you expect God to change him and then come up with that jargon that who is in charge? You or him. And that's the problem this morning. That's what I want to get to expectation, because we expect one thing and we said another one. Line up. Let's line up our confession with the word. With what the word says it's going to be. Second page. See, let me just throw this. I wasn't going there, but waited, you know, expectation. The creation is waiting. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. Interesting, I was reading this. You don't say Christ coming. The Son of Man. That's a ministry. That's not Christ, even though Christ did the Son of Man ministry. But in this age, we also had the Son of Man and the Son of Man. So what do you think this thing is saying? There's going to be another Son of Man ministry, and we had it. But if you don't watch and therefore and wait, you know, you will miss that day. You know, there's a lot of people that may missed already that this day. 63, you know, the appearance of the Son of Man in the Son of Man, right? Now, you didn't. Oh, I know you were not looking for it. I was Baptist. I was not looking for a prophet. I don't even know there was a prophet in the land. I don't even know, but I was faithful, waiting and watching for what I knew I was in the Baptist church. And it had nothing to do with that was, you know, doing what I was doing, works. But that's all we had, works. And I told you, you know, works will be, some people will be judged by works. I had works. Yes, I directed the service just like Abdul here. I was the assistant to the pastor. I take care of all the choirs. I take care of all the programs, special program, Christmas, Easter. I take care of the children's choir, take care of the orchestra that we had. I got to the point where the pastor said, I talked to you. He didn't even talk to his deacon. I mean, nothing had to do with your guys' deacon here. That was say I'm talking. Because that don't happen here. But if he needed to go, he says, he calls me and I said, I'm leaving right now, so... So you take care of the thing. I said, well, what about your deacons? You know how that goes. I said, no, okay. I don't know how that goes, but whatever, anyway. So you know, you direct the service and get things going. Make sure everything is right. Make sure you check with the deacons. It's a guy that is coming to preach this morning. That's going to cover for me. But you decide, you know. You keep checking. And so I started the service. And I almost fight till time. And I look at them and they said, no. And it's time that for the preaching, and he wasn't there yet. And I looked and said, okay. I said, I wait 5 more minutes. And after 5 minutes, he wasn't there. So I opened the Bible and started preaching. So that's what the expectation was. The pastor said, this is what I expect you to do. If nothing comes up the way it's supposed to. Well, I understood that. Not too much word. You don't have to speak a lot. So I started preaching. The guy came in 15 minutes late. But after that, I was already 15 in my sermon. I was not going to stop now. So I directed the service. I'm praying and dismissed and done. Done it before. So this is not a surprise to me. God took me through certain things when I was growing up. And I went to visitation times, and I went to school teacher for the Sunday school, adults from children to adults. Throughout those years that I was there, I covered every base. But God is doing something, but I don't know. I'm only trying to be faithful that God saved me. That's all I had. God knows that. And you will not lose your reward for the things that you do good towards the children or towards God. God will remember that. You will not lose your reward. That's what the judgment day, you will not lose your reward. So, you know, I'm not talking that it's by work. It will be by work when the judgment comes, but not to you and me. This is all by grace. But, I mean, that's the way I was. That's how I was watching. That's why I was praying. The Bible said to wait. The Bible says, looking for another word, the Bible said to occupy yourself while he's coming. That's how you occupy yourself. Not missing or not going or not praying or not coming to church. That's not waiting. If you really, truly, let me put it this way. In the time of Brother Branham, they thought Jesus Christ was going to come. The expectation was so high that at any time after the seals were preached, okay, don't you think we are closer than that now? What should be the expectation now? Less or greater expectation? So that's what I'm here. Because my expectation. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but the face, but then face to face. Now I know in part. We know in part now. You know, some people ask me questions. I say, I don't know. I tell you what the Bible said. I tell you what Brother Brand says. Beyond that, I don't have no more idea. I mean, we can go beyond that and start probing, but the more we probe, the more questions we're going to have. Why? Because we don't know. What God has reserved for those that believe, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nobody. So how I'm going to go beyond that, what the prophet already brought me and trying to explain? I only can tell you what he says, and I believe it. The details will take care of themselves later. I don't know the details, unless it's a progressive walk. Maybe tomorrow, next year, I got another revelation, a little bit more. But, you know, and I might can tell you a little bit more about it. But still, I will not be able. My imagination, I mean, as big as it is, you know, I can never imagine what's going to be happening there that day. There's no way in this thing. And even if I could, I'm going to tell you one thing, I'm wrong. Because nobody has seen her imagine what's going to happen unless you're there. So how am I going to tell you what's going to happen when I don't even know? I have an idea. When I'm there, I will have an idea what's going to happen. When I'm changed, I will have an idea. When Brother Brown will be on the curtain of time, those bodies, Theophany body, they knew more than he knew. When I get there, I'll let you know. When my body's changed, I'll let you know. But by then, you don't need to hear. If you hear from him, when it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How is that? I'm here, but I'm there at the same time? Yes. He's going to come with your theophany bodies, with your word bodies. They are there in him. He is your, you know, flesh body. But you have another theophany. It takes three to make it. The spirit, you know, the soul and the body is three. Also in the spiritual sense, you have to have a flesh body. You know, you have to have a word body, and then a theophany is a word body, and then your soul and all that will come together. You know, he will get some more dirt from the ground and make a body. That's three things, a body, a soul, and the theophany, and they become what? A glorified body. So that's what I say, he shall also appear with him in glory. So it will be a glorified body that he has. You know, brother preached about that. See, so the same body he has, we're going to have. But until then, what? We just wait, hope for what shall appear. And that is my expectation. I want to change, a complete change of body, like his body. And then I will know what he knows. And in a sense, the way I was known, actually. The way I was known in his mind. Amen. Next one. Let me see if I can. Psalm, did I went ahead? Okay. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from who? From him. My expectation is not lined up with his expectation, we're wasting our time. Because whatever thing you have in your mind, I have in my mind, it will not work anyway. You cannot lean to your own understanding. I'm going to tell you why. Because it won't work. It produces what? Death at the end. The only life there is God. So either we do what God expects to do, we ought to do, or we do what we do. But in our search, in our journey to look for our own things, it will produce what? Death. But His will produce what? Life and life eternal. The Holy Spirit works in our lives. Amen. To the extent that we yield to His will as He revealed it in His word. See? We expect something. And then by the revelation, expectation and faith go together. That is the base of expectation. Is that He, by His Spirit, will reveal to us through His word what He expects me to do. Thy parents, we expect our children to do a lot of things. Huh? And if they don't, sometimes we have to chastise them. You know, sometimes they want to do whatever they expect to do. But if they don't line up with what the parents are expecting of them, that's what I'm saying. It is very important that you have the right expectation. Whatever you believe, whatever you said, whatever you do, the children become that. The power of the words in your tongue. So if you tell a kid, you know, you are nothing and you were nothing, where do you think that expectation is going to go? But if you do the other way, you are smart, you are lovely, you are this, and you are that, what do you think is going to happen later on? You might create a monster anyway. But anyway, you know, you're a princess and you're man. I mean, the power of life and death is in your tongue. I mean, I want you to understand this morning where we are, at what point we have come. This is not just a check in a box. Whatever you said to your brother and your sister, whatever you said to anybody, it can determine what the destination of people. And not that they're going to die or not, but you cannot determine that. But it could either push people further away or, but it depends what you're saying. So if you don't have nothing else to say good about anybody, just tell them, God bless you. That's the best you can do. The Holy Spirit works in our lives. God expectation. Because that's where it comes from. You know, I define expectation as a strong belief that something will happen. That's in our aim. But also, God has an expectation. He wants to achieve something. Has a purpose. So even though if you have an expectation that something will happen, it had to happen whatever He expected to happen. You have to be lined up with His expectation. Your expectation is His expectation. Your desire is His desire. Those two have to line up. If not, things are not going to work the way you like it to work. If you come with your own expectation, you're going to be disappointed every time. But you don't expect me to come with this white suit. I have nothing to do with anything. But, I mean, I don't care if you expect it or not. Because it has nothing to do with our expectation. That's why we have problems in church. That's why we have division. Somebody expects something one way. Somebody wants it another way. We cannot get together because our expectations are not meeting. That's not my way. That's my way. And then we're supposed to be together with one expectation. What do we have? Because we injecting what? Our own expectation. You know, and in these places we have a lot of them. You know, there are convictions and there are condemnations. You know, I had a guy that, a brother, not in this church, so you can relax. We used to go skating, you know, once a month. And he was the one arranging, the brother arranged the skating, the times and everything. And we call it a Christian skating night, right? Because we were all message believers. So I was talking to one of the deacons, and he says to me, I don't believe in that, and I will not send my children to that, because I was asking him, why don't you, you know, send your children? He said, but I don't believe in that. I said, so what's the problem, you know? Well, I think the music they're using in there is for worship. It's not to be used out there in the ring. Is that a conviction or a revelation of what? See, we got all kind of junk. We make all kind. That's your conviction. That's fine. That's your opinion. That's fine. But if don't impose it on people. Because I don't have that conviction. I don't have that opinion. In fact, I thought it was all right. I said my children's too. I told him, listen, brother, that's your thinking, that's your belief. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to condemn you for it because I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. And I'm going to, as soon as you don't tell me I'm wrong, because if that is a revelation, I should have it too. And if you're not sure, not going to push it as a revelation, you know better than that. That's your conviction. How long the skirt should be. That is your own expectation of what you believe. Below the knee, 3 inches, down on your ankles. You cannot go to another sister and say, well, I don't think that's why. It's just a conviction. It's not a revelation. It's your own revelation, your own conviction. But it's not a revelation. Well, how long the shoes? I better not get there. Let me not go there. I'm going to get in trouble. All I'm saying is we have a lot of expectation. We have injected a lot of things based on what we believe. And we're and the revelation we had, then we start, cooking these things. Listen, that's fine. I'm not against if your family, you want to take your family in that way. Because if I tell you what I do with my family, it might not work with your family. I know my kids, I know my wife, I know what I need to do, which way I need to treat them, how I know how to get the best result by doing certain. That might not work with yours. You have to figure that out. There's no manual in parenting. You know, I didn't know what I expected to be a parent. So when I became a parent, nobody told me he's a manual. He didn't came with that spanking new unit that I had. No manual. You know, Brother Blunky, we had to have him. So you learn as you go. So with the first one, I was in the hospital every time she called for a sneeze. I learned. And the second one, give him a handkerchief there, I don't know. Something. By the third one, I wouldn't even pay no attention no more to it. I learned. I learned what to do right and what I did wrong, so I would not do it the second time. And if I got more children, I get better at it. I ignore them more completely. Yeah, I give him an aspirin and come in the morning. And let's see where we are. And that's, we change. We learn. We're humans. We don't know everything. So we slowly, as we expect things, we decide right, wrong, better. Let's tweak it. You cannot do that with the Word of God. And that's fine. We all got expectation. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be a mechanical engineer. So I did. That was my expectation. And you have kids. We all got expectation. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you make sure that you do the things the right way. And that is make sure everything is approved. If you're a Christian, you have to talk to the master. Present your plans. If the pastor says over here, don't get married unless the boy or the girl has the Holy Spirit, what do you do? Let me bring that in. Again, I'm stuck in this page. We come to church because we believe and we have confidence and trust in the ministry that God has chosen for this place. And the ministry, Brother Doug has certain expectations according to the word, according to how God leads him and talk to him. And you follow, and if not, then what are we doing here? If you make this your church and he is pastor, at least, to go out there and disagree. Why? It's better for you to find another church that will let you do what you want to do. You will be happy. No, really. I don't want you to leave, but if Brother Doug said, no, I don't do that. We don't do that because. And you said, well, I don't agree. This is hard, but find your church and a pastor that you have confidence that will let you do and agree with you on what you want to do. And be happy. I want your happiness. Don't tell this to Brother Doug. Because I prefer that you be happy and we all be happy. Because as long as you're in that situation, we're all miserable. You are miserable. We're all miserable. And that's not the expectation this morning. Okay, I have to say it. It's there. Yes, I don't understand everything. Okay? But God put me here, and I put my shoulder to shoulder with the pastor for the best of you guys. This is all you. This is all for you. This is not for him or me. This is all for your benefit. And we are doing the best that we know how to. So, and it's hard. So don't help me because I have a problem already. Preaching, Don't help me, please, because I was working at the shop. I work all the time. And the people bring cakes. And some of the cakes are higher than the box. The box is about 4 or 5 inches. But sometimes they want this cake with double cakes and some stuff in top, some contraption, And now you can put a top on it because it's about this high. But I figured out how to take care of that. So I take the other box that is the top, and I put it in between. You have to be there to understand this. I knew how to put it in between the part that fold. I put it in between or four, and I can get another 4 inches, 2 inches on top. So when I start doing that, I've been doing that for 20 years. I have perfected that thing. You know, I learned. So when I start doing that, then the customer right away, I said, just leave it alone. I've been doing this for a long time. I got to figure out. Thank you. You know, just about the ministry. This is not easy. And we don't need to get the kind of things that we get. We're trying to keep it straight. And that's not an easy thing. So help us. Pray. And just be behind your pastor. You know, be all the way or not. Find somebody that you want to be 100% all the way. If we're not going to do that, then why? The same thing with God. If you're not going to be 100% behind his expectation, and you just want to do 80 and then 20, God wants it all or nothing. Amen. That's how we treat things. Amen. And then I had the definition that I gave you before. I got to move along. And then next one. Let's see. I put this here because I read you this last time. Brother Doug spoke next. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to explain something that I forgot to mention. If you look at the red lettering, expectation, expects, or any derivative of the word expectation or expect, I counted there 7. Okay, I'm not in numerology, and that don't mean too much to you, but it's completion, right? We are in the 7th age. I leave it there. We don't need to go any further with it. But God is a God of numbers. So this is important to me because this is where we are. So I guess we need to, we will us to pay attention, watch and wait and let the Spirit guide us. Okay? And there was a vindication. He spoke about it. I had it already written. You know, at least started it. So there's a vindication. And I'm glad because we are synchronized. This is not something that, you know, me and Andy and we doing our thing and he's doing his. That's not work that way. If we are in the same spirit, they are just one spirit. And the same thing in the congregation has to work the same way. You cannot have two different thoughts about the same thing. If you do, then sit down and figure out what the word said and do that. Expectation. Next one. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, this is God speaking, and it shall not to the prophets, and shall not return unto me. Boy, you know these things. I'm just rehearsing this thing because I want to make a point. But it shall accomplish that which I please. So now, I don't care what you want. I mean, it sounds raw, but it is what he wants. It's his pleasure. Whatever he pleases is what's going to happen. So it behooves me to find out what he wants and what pleases him. Don't you want to please him this morning? Let's find out what it is. And it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. Okay? If it is his pleasure, it will prosper. If it's not, so you can tell your life which way it's going by just this simple thing. What I'm doing is prospering. Wait a minute, Brother Eli. I took a new job and I got more money. I got positions. I have a career. Now I got 2 houses. I got 2 cars. That's a blessing. Is that prospering? Is blessing? It's all right. I'm not saying not to have them. But now I don't see you in church. So your expectation went up and God's went down. You have to decide what is a blessing, what is a curse. Not because some people in this message and the denominational realm, they go by how much they prosper. They think God is in it. That's not how it works. You know, because then what happened to the poor people that never prosper? Right. See, it won't jive. It won't go together. Because now we're saying only the people that prosper are the ones that are going to be the sons and daughters of God. That's our own, cooking our own things. He says, the second one, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your understanding. And the next one, knowing that this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is any of any private interpretation. And here where I wanted to start the new thing, in expectation 2, nothing, can you say nothing? Nothing was left to human opinion. Amen. Nothing was left to human interpretation. So you cannot figure it out. There's only one person that can figure all this out. It's King. And he pleases to do whatever he wants to do. So, I'm not a referee. Where was I when he started hanging the constellations, the world? Where were you, Job? Where were you? Who counseled me? Who told me what to do? So, if you have nothing to do, nothing left to do, opinions, ideas, nothing was left to do about human interpretation, how do you going to get the expectation if you cannot reach it? There's no way you know. Nobody knows. Well, there's only one way that he tells you. By the Spirit of God. And that's why you come here. God, what do you expect me to do next? With my family? With my job? With this? With that? Me and my wife, well, we've been in the business for 20 years. So I've been talking to her. We need to have a plan to exit. And she said, what the plan? I don't know. I'm praying. I'm waiting. You know, and I will know, because that's how we got that shop 20 years ago. I remember we were looking, you know, we had an idea. We had set our expectation. We went looking one day and we saw a few places and we figured out, you know, how much it's going to cost to bring something to that point to produce a product and the changes that has to be done to the building, you know, all the whole thing and things that we had to add and take. You know, by the expectation of the city, you have specs for all that. And it was going to cost. So one day we were hungry. We sat down in the Whataburger and we eating. And she looks that way out of the big window. And she said, look at. And I looked that way. Nice building. And it's for lease. Wow. I mean, even if you don't know what God wants for you to do, you need to push forward. You got to do something. Like Brother Brown had to throw the rock. Something has to be done. You just cannot, well, I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to come until I hear from God. You need to push forward. And even if you made the wrong decision and you fall, get up and push forward. That is a waiting part. Just continue. Don't give up. Just because if you are patient and you are persistent, God will answer you sooner or later. I remember sometimes I think about, you know, when I was at home in Puerto Rico and I was young, 14, 15, we go to the beach and we go to some rocks formation and we jump about a mile away, then we swim all the way back. And we do that, you know, we were young, so we do that with the youth from the church. We do that all the time. I don't know what happened. I jump and I started and suddenly I got tired. I was exhausted. And I wasn't too far, yeah, to reach, you know, the shore there. But before you reach the shore, there was a formation of corals. So you had to wait for the water as it comes in to lift you up, and then you can go over and you're on the other side, safe. I couldn't, because I didn't have enough to wait and then boost myself up to come up like I was doing before. We do that. I started going back, because if you cannot go forward, the thing will push you back when it starts going back, the waves. And I was struggling. So one of my friends saw me. I guess I didn't see him, but I didn't yell for help. That's my problem. Sometimes I try to figure things in my way, even though when I'm drowning, instead of asking for help. You guys are not that way, right? You wait until the last minute when you are dying to ask somebody for help when you could do it early. Oh, no, I talked to the pastor. Maybe, you know, let me figure this out. Listen, that's why he's here. He's your spiritual leader. You trust him? Why were you waiting to do things on your own way? That's another way you can find out what the will of God is. You just don't want that because you have something else in mind, and he's going to tell me what I don't want to hear. Sorry, I put it that rough, but, you know, we have certain expectations, and he's not going to agree with me because he has another, and you know that. So I felt a hand behind me, you know. He came. I don't know where he was at, but he was watching me all that time. I'm glad somebody was watching. God would not let me drown there. I would be lost. 14 years old. I wasn't. You know, I didn't have nothing. Yeah, I went to church. Check. But I had the Holy Ghost. I professed to be a Christian. Yeah, I went with the family every Sunday. In fact, I was born in church, probably. But that don't mean anything. No, yeah, you know. It takes me back. Certain things, it takes me back. And then I had to come. Get over here. Okay, I'm back. So you know, he got me and waited for the way, and then he pushed me, and then I made it. See? So I was grateful, you know, that he took in his hands to do what he needed to do. I'm glad. I'm really glad. Because I don't know what I was waiting for. I was just there floating and going down and waiting for what? Something happens? You know, why don't you talk to your brothers and sisters when you have certain problems? No, I can figure this out myself. But don't you know somebody already been through that and it's back down? When and that's back down? Mainly you young people. You don't want to talk about mom and dad about anything because you think you have it all figured out. And if you don't have it figured out, you talk to your peers. You don't talk to mom and dad. They're old folks. What did they know? They know. They know. I've been there and I'm back. In fact, I am three generations in front of my children, at least two generations. Because I see mine, my father, that's maybe more. I'm leaving my children's generation with them, and I'm my grandchildren's generation. How many have you lived? You just got married and got kids, maybe one or two. You're just 30 years old, and you only, you know, people that are 30 years old, 40, you know, they only know things in theory. I heard what they said about senior citizen and this, don't need this and don't need that. All theory. But I already lived that. I already experienced that. And I can tell you at least what I think about it. You don't have to agree, but I can tell you. Oh, no, we figured it out. You don't have no technology. What does that have to do with anything? We're not talking about technology. We are talking about human beings. We haven't changed in 2,000 years. So what do you think? That you better? You change just because you have a laptop or an iPad? Now I don't know how to work one and I'm stupid now, dumb? You want me to tell you what I think about that? No. Young people, you need to wake up because your parent wants the best for you. I know sometimes you think that, you know, if I tell them they're going to be disappointed, you know, and then I won't be number one son any longer. I'll be number one ton son. Okay, that was just a joke. There was two guys. I have to explain you now because you won't understand. Two brothers. One was skinny and the other one was big. So when they introduce themselves, he says, I'm number one son, the skinny guy says, and he's number one ton son. Now you got where that came from. Okay? So young people, you got to trust somebody sooner or later, and your peers are not to be trusted. What do they know? They know as much as you know. And they tell you that they know. They don't know. Practically, they figure it out, but talk to mom and dad. And if you don't have a mom and dad, talk to your pastor. If you are 20, 21, and you have a pastor, you don't have a partner, talk to them, you know. We have come to a point that there's no more room for error. Do you know what we can avoid all these things that we go through sometimes? Because our own stupidity sometimes we go through. But we know that we don't need to. But we are so proud. Well, I don't want them to know. If I tell her, everybody will know. But then you try. Give people the benefit of the doubt. And if she do, in fact, do something. Do a test. Don't do it here. Tell her something. Make something up and tell the person you think you want to trust and see what happens. If she tells everybody, then you don't. It was just a test. Make something up, see, if it goes around. Uh-oh. Now you guys going to be careful when they test. Yeah, if you don't trust somebody, test them. Every time I find a person that I don't know, I give him 100%. I will give it the benefit of the doubt. I've been scheming $500 and a lot of money, sometimes $4,000. I've been scheming a lot of money in my life. I've been places, done things. I trust people. Listen, if you're a son of God or a daughter of God, that is in you, to love and to trust. You're not the children of the devil. They're wise. You are not street smart. You were not brought up that way. You was brought up to believe. So when people come with their schemes that they were so hard at it, you believe. Well, anyway, that's my excuse. So I had given on to some of those things. I found out later that, you know, I just lost my money. Well, if you don't trust somebody, do a test. That's what I will do. Don't speak too much of you, but if you got to get to that point, you know, make a test to see. Nothing is left to human opinion and nothing is left to human interpretation. So, there's nothing you can do. I don't know the details. This is how it is. Now, let's read the next slides because time just keep moving. Amen. Are you all right? You quiet this morning? And I said unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is that rock? We know that rock of revelation. If you want to know how God wants to build you up, you have to have a revelation from God. And that revelation is by the Holy Ghost. And you know, on that revelation is where your expectations are built. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or death. So it doesn't matter which way it goes. You have an expectation to rise anyway, so dead or alive, I'm Christ, you know. So now I want to take the subject of expectation. You know, Brother Banner was talking in one of his things. He says that before you can have expectation, you have to have faith, because faith accompanies expectation. So your expectation has to be based on faith according to the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Amen. Next one. Thought faith was understand. Through faith, we understand that the world was formed by the Word of God, by the Word, so that things we are seeing were not made of things which do appear. Thus, Isaiah 42:5, thus says God the Lord, He that created the heavens, that stretched them out, He that spread forward everything on the earth and that which comes out of it, you and me and everything, He that giveth breath unto people upon it, and spirit, and the spirit to them that walk thereof. So what part did you do here? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, or all things created by Him and for Him. He maintains and He sustains. So what part do you have there? Whatever part He wants you to play. And you have to find out what it is. And that's all. He takes out the rest. He created all this world and you and everything for His own pleasure. He says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. For His own purpose, for His own pleasure. Now, I can trust God. God is perfect. I don't have to, start asking, you know, why? That's not just. Why? You know, some people do that. They question God. No, if God is a loving God, why this? Why that? Well, I don't know. I don't know what everything that happens when people die, they get sick, you know. I know what the Word says. But God is doing whatever. God is perfect. Even in death or in life. It doesn't matter which way it comes. You know, I know people have gone through afflictions and troubles. I don't know why. But at the end, if you are persistent, you're waiting, and you trust, you will know. The next one. The exposition of the seven churches. Since this portion of the word is hard, it is hard. Because you have nothing to do. Nothing left to your opinion. Nothing left to your interpretation. Hard for the human mind to... You can't even wrap yourself around. Then, this is a chess game. So he moves me and he tells me what to do. So what is my thing in this thing? Nothing! You know what is the only thing in it? What is the bride have to say when they ask, do you want to marry me? Just yes. That's all you got. What Mary says, do unto me. That is your part. And if you are a daughter, son of God, with you will do that. And somebody not, he won't. It must be accepted and believed by faith. Because I don't have the details on them. Some will be offended by that, what I have said, for because they fail to understand the sovereignty of God, which sets forth that God is God, and because He is God, one cannot defeat His counsels. Whatever His mind said, whatever He decided, how are you going to defeat that? It is His plan, it is His design, it is He sustains, He maintains, He gives life, or towards His His will, destroy His will and purpose. Who wants to go out to do? You know, the world that they think they're going to, the one of these days they're going to come all together, the whole nation, to destroy God. Huh. Good luck. But He, being omnipotent. He is ruling all affairs and is doing whatever he will with all his creation. So it behooves you to find out what he wants to do and how he wants to do, because you are not going to prosper. You might prosper out there, but not spiritually. He said, because all were created for his own, therefore, Paul says, if God should take of one lump and clay and make of that some lump one vessel unto honor and other two vessel to dishonor, who can be offended and cry against him? A question. Anyway, that he has the right to do this on the grounds of creation alone. You know, some vessel to honor, dishonor. Who is me to say that's not right? I don't understand. I know one thing. I love God, and I know that he will do everything that it will take, you know, for me. I mean, his best interest, the bride is the you know, his love. And he will do everything that is good. I don't have to question. I don't understand God, but I won't question, because I know whatever is happening in my life, whatever is going on that I don't understand and I don't expect that, it doesn't matter. In this journey, I'm trusting that he will take me through. I don't have to ask him why. That he has the right to do this in the grounds of creation that we cannot deny. Yet he went even further, for according to Romans 14:7-9, we have the irrefutable proof that Jesus paid the purchase price of this whole world, and therefore he can do as he will. Well, that was not my fault. That was Adam's fault. Well, the first Adam fell, you fell, but now the second Adam came, and now you can be restored. What do you think he restored you so you can continue in the old ways? That's what some people do. What do you want God to heal you? What do you want to give you revelation? What do you need all this stuff if it's not to do what he wants? You want to please him. A wife wants to please her husband. Wives, please your husband. Please, you know, husband, love your wives. Children, don't irritate them, fathers, but children, obey. How hard is that? But I don't think my dad or my mom, I don't think they understand. No, I don't think you understand. I'm not saying that parenting, like I said before, maybe somebody needs this, I don't know. You know. I don't know at all. But I know more than a 14-year-old. I mean, that's given. If I'm a son of God and I've been in this business, you know, all these years, and I go through all this experience, I'm going and coming back, don't you think I know something? Okay, I don't know who needs that this morning, but next one, because I want to finish. Expectation again. Then I thought, what? Who am I? That's Brother Branham talking. This is when the wife died and the children, his child was in the hospital. He fought through all that, you know, flooding that we have today too. Got to the thing. God talked to him because he tried to start the thing 3 times. Start, and then he reminds him. God says, remember what you did here. Oh, that wasn't me. That was my mother-in-law. Okay. You know, let me inject this here too. Sometimes we think that the decisions that you make don't affect anybody but yourself. You are not an island unto yourself. You know, everything that you do, you don't know, directly or indirectly, will affect someone. You know? Somehow. So think about what you're going to do. Pray about what you're going to do. Because you like it or not, sooner or later, it's going to affect someone, even though if it's not in your family. Maybe a friend at work. Every decision you make will change something. You throw a stone in that water, it's going to ripple. So as Christian, you need to think what you are saying and what you are doing, because you will affect someone. You know, I have a guy that told me something this week. Nothing bad, something that he wanted to do. And I didn't say nothing. I mean, he can do it. That's his right to do what he wants to do with his family and whatever. I don't have to say so. But then it changed my mind in another aspect dealing with him. I told him I don't want to continue. And he says, why? Well, I didn't tell him. I said, I want to talk to you face to face. Because the thought that you had, even though you had the right to do what you want to do for your family, and that is your right, I'm not saying you're wrong, has affected my idea of what our relationship and this thing that we want to go forward. But I didn't want to tell him. What do you do? It was something simple, but God, in simplicity, I learned things. And every thought that you have, and every word that you speak, it will change something. Okay? Whatever you tell your children, it will change. You might not think so. It will change. So be careful how we talk to one another. Brothers, I don't care. You might think, well, this is just me. No. This is a body move. How are you going to think that your decision is not going to affect me? Whatever decision you make out there is going to affect me sooner or later. Not directly, but it will affect me. I had a guy that came and told me, you know what? Let me tell you about so-and-so. I said, I don't want to know if that's going to help me or not. He said, well, I need to tell you what happened. I said, if that's going to ruin my what I think about the guy, his reputation, he says, he might. Don't tell me. No, but I want you to know so you can... No. Don't tell me, because when I see him, whatever you said, it will change something in me. Like it or not, my perception will change. My expectation will change. I'm almost done. Don't go to sleep on me. Then I thought, who am I? Anyhow, so Brother Brian is in the hospital. Who am I to question the Creator that gives me my very life here on earth? Where did I get that, baby? Who gave it to me? Where did I get it? Who gave it to me? Not mine. Anyhow, he just loaned her to me. I haven't experienced this, but some of you might have experienced this. Or you know somebody that experienced this. And then you might understand. But I cannot identify with this right now. And I don't want to. God do whatever he needs to do. He spared me. I don't know why. Maybe I cannot handle it. And he knows that. He's not going to put no more than you can bear. So maybe I cannot bear that, Brother Calvo. To lose one of my children or my grandchildren. I don't know. For a while, I said, Satan, get away from me. You know, once you get to the realization, once you hit bottom and your intellect fails you and your reasoning and your logic fails you, then you finally got to the point that you can say, you know, because Satan was right there. He's going to talk to you. But you have to resist him. Just like Brother was preaching, Brother Andy says, tell him, take it back. Don't argue. Don't sit there and try to, whatever it you bring, take it back. So Brother Brian says, take it back. It's over. I went over, lay my hands on that baby, and I said, God bless you, sweetheart. In a minute, daddy will take you down, push you in your mommy's arms. The angels will pack your little soul away, and I will meet you in the morning. I said, Lord, you give her to me. You are taking her away. Thought you slay me. Like Job said, I love you, and I believe in you. You know, I don't know what's set for you in your journey from here on. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter. This is hard, but he says it's hard to grasp. And you cannot grasp until you get to that position. And you experience that. I can tell you about certain things, but I cannot tell you about losing a loved one. I haven't. My mom, my dad's still alive. 97. And if things continue, they probably live to be 100. When I get to 100, I tell you what they feel about being 100. Right now, I can. I'm going to be 70 pretty soon. At 15 years old, whatever, 20, you don't know what 70 feels like. So don't try to tell me what I need to do, what I need to eat, how I need to go, because you don't know. When you get there, then you know what experience what I'm experiencing, and then that might change your way of thinking. Funny how everybody wants to tell you what to do. I don't know, whoever. If you send me... Now, this is something. If you send me to hell, I love you. You cannot be safe if you don't cannot be them. Dead. If you don't know that that's what you deserve anyway, how can you be safe? If you deserve dead and he gave you life, you don't deserve nothing else. Your opinions, your thought, you want his. That's why he came and paid the price. We were going straight to hell. Brother Brown said in another occasion, and I will finish this, I got to. I don't have the quote here, I'm more paraphrased from mine. You know what that happens, you know. But anyway, if you have to straighten me out because you know the quote. Anyway, Brother Brown says that if he knew that what he was doing was wrong, you know, the message wasn't wrong, but he says, well, Paul said the same thing. You know, I will give my salvation for my brethren. See, no, you cannot do that. But anyway, if, you know, it's a big if. It's not possible. Transfer your salvation and your Holy Ghost to somebody else. Yeah, I wish. it will be a lot of people, you know, better off today by, you know, helping them. Okay, so Brother Man says, if I know that I'm wrong, certainly wrong, preaching this message, and I know that if I continue, I know I'm going to hell. Now, I read this quote a long time ago, so I'm paraphrasing. Don't take it for what it's worth completely. But it's just take the point I'm trying to make. And then he continues saying, but I know that that's what God wants me to do. I do. How can you tell God, what did you make me this way? The Pharaoh will never will be saved. I don't care how much you try. He was says, the Pharaoh is there, so my word, you know, is for his pleasure. I'm going to deal with that Pharaoh, you know, because I need to show my powers, you know, not because God is bad, but if there's somebody doing something wrong, you never tell what's right. God has vessels to honor and dishonor. And the Pharaoh, he was made for that particular reason. He wasn't going to be saved. He was made so he can be against God all the time, so God can show who God is. So, Brahma said, if God didn't choose you to be elected in this bride, you would not believe it. There's nothing you can do. I know it's hard to grasp these things, but I just believe what God said, maybe later on. He says, I love you. Anyhow, I cannot get away from that. See, if you're going to send me to hell with the same kind of a spirit that I have now, I will love you then, too. That's the right spirit. Lord, even if you send me to hell that day, I'm trusting you. Because whatever you decide is right. I might not agree, I don't care about agreeing with anything, but if that's what you want, that's what you get. Because he deserves it anyway. And he says, there you are. I cannot get away from that. See? That whatever God wants, it's going to do. I cannot explain it to you. There you are. Just an intellectual. It all broke away. See? He was trying to make sense out of this thinking. You know, Satan will come. Logic and say, what's going on? Lord, I have done this for you. Oh, God don't love you. Blah, blah, blah. But when he broke through that and started thinking about, you gave it, you take it, like then Satan has to leave. But we have to break away from our opinions, our intellect, whatever you think you know. You have to break away from that, because God will not speak to you until you break away. How can you serve two masters? You have to break away from that, and God will give you, illuminate your spirit, your soul, with what you need. But it is your decision. That's what you got to do. That's your part. It decides who you're going to listen to. This morning, there you are, see? But you got to have personal relationship. You got to be born again. Stand. Oh, you did it fast. Thank you. You are good listeners. Let me read you this last one. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Ain't that neat? But that's neat. Look at what it says. Says the Lord. Peace. And not of evil. God is the one to destroy you. God wants the best for you. To give you an expected end. Literally what he's saying, he's giving you an expectation to your end. That end that I'm wishing for. Not wishing, but that end that I want. And what is that? I want to be like him. He will do it, he says. He started the work. He's finished it. I am expecting, Paul said, forgot the scriptures. I had trusted him, you know, with that. That whatever happens at the end, he calls. The NIV says, for I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So don't worry about the details. Whatever you go through life, trust them. Because whatever you're expecting at the end, he will give it to you. But how do you know that's what you want if all these things don't happen? These things have to happen so you can be grounded. So you really, how do you really know that you're an honest person if I don't give you $20 when I owe you $10 and you don't stop and say, hey, you gave me $10 extra? Well, at that point you learn. And I learned you're honest. If things don't happen to you, how do you know that you have what you have? It got to be tested. And I finish with this. Brother Bannon, I don't have it here in the teens, but I read it, Thirsting for Life, in that message. He says you have to have a painful desire. Painful. Not just a desire, a painful desire. What that means? Don't you get hunger pains when you're hungry? And the only way they go away if you eat? I mean, that's in the natural. There's something in here, in the human body and the brains, that when it's time to eat, the pancreas starts, you know, hey, pancreas, we're ready. And then the pancreas starts throwing acids in the stomach because it's ready to, you know, to do the digestion, you know, give me something so I can work with. So if you don't, then the acids and all that start giving you this little pain that you feel hunger pain. But that is because the brain alerted the pancreas, starts segregating, we got to eat. And then you said, I'm not going to eat today. But you know what you do? You hurt yourself. And your pancreas, sooner or later, you just continue doing that. He said, well, you don't need me, so start decreasing. Next time you feel hungry, say, well, I'm only going to work 30%. And he do. Some people have ruined their pancreas because it's supposed to function a certain way, and we just kind of, you know, we know better. Eat something. I don't care. Painful desire. And is that a human being? Don't you think that, you know, Brother Brown says, there will come the time that people will be making a line. Why? Because if we don't have a painful desire now, we need to look for one. And I'm not saying, you know, well, you know, a painful desire, you have to cry out and I want. No, I'm not talking about that. Wait, watch and pray and do the things that you know mechanically you have to do. I'm thirsting for God. How many of you are thirsting for God this morning? What are you going to do about it? You're going to do whatever He expects you to do, and He will what? Do what? Quench the thirst. You know, that's what I come to church. I can't stay home and read my Bible and look at a program, you know, service. That don't quench my thirst completely. That's just like taking a sip of water, Brother Kavanaugh. You know, I don't want a sip. I want my cup to just, you know, run sour. So I come to church because we're more here. And it's just like, it's not just a little, you know, drink we're getting. And God will open the faucets of heaven, the windows of heaven, and will flood the place you want spiritually. Painful desire. Expecting what God wants us to do. So here's the little, come on, musicians. So here's the little wife pregnant. And what happened as you get closer and closer to that day? What do you think they call him? You expecting? What do you think they call him expecting? Now you being pregnant with the word of God, are you expecting? Well, I don't see your stomach. Okay, men, you don't do that, but I can see your life and your children's and your wife's life. And I can tell you, you're expecting the things you do for the Lord, for the people and the things, you know, that happen. You are there supporting, helping, doing, praying, reading. But the closer it gets to the due date, yeah, what happens? Pains. Pain. You know, painful desire, you know, painful. And you know what happened? Everybody can wait. You know, the families, we can wait, oh, that little one in there, oh, we want to know, we want to have, we want to love them. And you know, so what happened when you got, it's closer today than he was yesterday. We know that it's probably more closer than what you think. Don't you think we should be in love, that I'm expecting that word to become flesh? I mean, if you are pregnant with the word, it's the one little baby, it has been 9 months and the pains already started. If you're not having pains, let's have some pains. Because the pains means that he's closer than ever. So what happened? The water breaks. You know how it goes. And everybody's in expectation. When you come to church, are you in expectation that the water of heaven will break? Amen. So what happens? You know, everybody rejoices when the baby comes. You know, when the word of God comes forward, we rejoice. That's our baby. The word, we just nourish it. We love it. We care about it. How you do? The word is in your body, your body, your body, your body. Are you nourished your word? Are you care about it? Are you do? It tells you if you're a good mother or bad mother. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't drug. You don't do nothing. You don't want to harm that. The same thing. We don't want to harm the word. So we do the right things according to God. Because He's going to provide everything that we have need of. I think I'm in pain right now. I cannot identify with that, women's, but sorry. We all pregnant. And this is the time that that child that we've been waiting so long, this is where we are, is here. And we are waiting just for the manifestations of the sons of God. Not only you, but the whole creation is waiting that that baby comes out. That word finally comes out so everybody can be, so everybody will be happy. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for sending Jesus to save us. Father, we don't want nothing else but that you have complete control, possess this body. We want you. You're perfect. So whatever idea you have, whatever things you want to do is perfect. My ideas fail. So what do I even want my ideas and my opinions? Yours are perfect from the beginning. Even if you didn't create it, you're still God. And you know the beginning from the end. I want to put my life in your hands. Because whatever you do, regardless if I agree, if it don't look right, my expectation, it doesn't matter. Because at the end, I'm in your best interest. It's me. Just like a father, a natural father and wife and children. The father will do that is for the best interest of the family. Disregarding his own interest and the wife, we will do what is best for the children. And here you are, Lord, this morning. Father, we are not just coming here just to have a service. I came here because I want you to come. To come not only in word, but that your presence, your spirit, it be felt. I want you to change lives. That's what I came. I want to be changed a little bit more. I want to come to that realization that I am what you saw before the foundation of the world. An attribute, a thought, a word. Father, I know I fail many times. But I do have an expectation and a promise, and that promise that you will finish the work that you started. So with that expectation, I continue here. I don't care how many times I fall. The devil is ramping and ramping the pace. And I don't care because I know that the better I get, the less he can do. See, sometimes we want to credit the devil. Yeah, the devil was hard and tough, and we were growing too. We were children. But as we grow and we grow, we get better. And he's still continuing the same thing. So he don't get better. He cannot get better. But we get so good at it that now we tell him, get away. Take it. We come into the point that we can speak and believe, and he has to act. Now we have to the point that we can defeat Satan, any situation, any place. Why? We have grown to the point that we can believe what you said about us. And that's what we're expecting. See, Satan did not expect that we will grow. In fact, he's like to stump the growth for that reason. Because once we realize what it is, he can no longer have control. We have the power to defeat Satan. And we thank you, Lord, for that expectation. Thank you and bless the rest of this service. Bless your people as they go out and come back. And tonight, Father, we are on the expectation. Feed us again. We will be hungry again, and I will be thirsty tomorrow, and I will be thirsty Wednesday. This is not a one-time deal. You know, you don't need one time, and then you didn't need any more for 40 years. Well, this is not a one-time thing. I need you. I need you. Every day, I need you. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. I need you. Oh, I need you. Do you need him this morning? Sure you do. I need thee, oh, I need thee.